With me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. 2 Samuel, chapter number 11, a very familiar portion of scripture found here in this chapter. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, cover up. Cover up. Now, look with me if you will, and we want to begin reading with verse number 6. And we're going to just read verses 6, 7, and 8. And then I want to deal in this chapter. But 2 Samuel chapter number 11 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, "And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king." Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the very day that you've given us. We're grateful for every blessing that we have received. Now, Lord, we thank you for each one that's here today. Now, I pray, Father, that you will meet the need of every heart. Father, that you will be honored and glorified and exalted. Lord, I pray today, may we allow you to examine us and help us, Father, to walk in the very path that you have for us. Now, Lord, honor and glorify yourself and do your will. Touch those, Father, today that are sick. Raise them up according to thy will. Now, Lord, encourage those that are discouraged. And, Lord, I pray you'll save those that are lost. Lord, I pray that you'll renew that joy, Father, to those that have no joy today. Now honor and glorify yourself, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, as I stated, I want to preach on this thought, cover up. Now, if you go throughout the Word of God, you'll find that David's not the only one that tried to cover up his sin. You find in the Word of God a woman by the name of Jezebel, and her husband, King Ahab, desired a parcel of ground, and yet Ahab was too weak to take that, but Naboth said he would not surrender that vineyard. And of course, you know the story that Jezebel had Naboth killed and then covered it up, or tried to cover it. And then we have a man by the name of Jonah. Jonah tried to cover up the calling that God had put on his life. When God said to Jonah, "I want you to go down to Nineveh," Jonah decided he knew better, and instead of surrendering to the call of God, he decided he'd covered up, and he boarded a ship and started down. And of course we know that the further down he went and the further away he got from God, that God finally exposed who Jonah was, and Jonah finally had to admit and said, "I'm the problem." Well, here David, the king of Israel. Now you think about this. David had everything that he needed. God had given him the kingdom. God had given him servants. God had given him riches. David lacked for nothing. But David was just like you and like I am at times. David thought, "I know better." Because what happens here is simply that David refuses to do what God had instructed him to do, and it cost David greatly. Now, we find that David, in his cover-up, is trying to cover his sin. But notice what the Bible says about sin. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, said, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord." Now, notice this last statement. and be sure your sin will find you out. I thought about this as I studied. Even in everyday life, people are continuing to try to cover up different things in their life. We've everyone been guilty of that. Something has happened, and we decided we would take care of it, and we tried to cover it up. But have you ever noticed in the end that it eventually comes to a head? We're living in a nation of cover-ups. Now, you look in our political world today, and you don't know what to believe. I mean, there's continually seems like something is coming out that has been covered up for years. You look in the entertainment world just in the last few days, what has been exposed that has been covered up for years and years and years, and finally people are coming out and admitting, I'm guilty. Now, you and I need to be careful that we don't accept the bad every time it's put out there. Sometimes what's being told is not true. But we're seeing a lot of this coming out and exposed in our day and time. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, you may not realize this. When you have hidden sin in your life, it changes your personality. See, when it talks about here, prospering doesn't just mean financially. It's talking about spiritually, which is far more important than financials are. Finances are not near as important as our life and our life as what we're doing spiritually. But you watch somebody that's walking with God today and they get involved in sin and they do not confess it, they do not come clean with God, you start noticing the change. They quit coming to church. They quit mixing and mingling with the people of God. They quit talking about the things of God. What's happened? They're not prospering spiritually. They're decaying. So Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 14:34 said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How many times have you heard this question? What's wrong with our nation? I'm going to give you the answer real simple. Three letters. S-I-N. Sin. Nowadays, you're not expected in society to confess and acknowledge your sin. It's just accepted. We're living in an age of tolerance. People say, you just have to put up with it. No, I don't. I don't have to put up with it. You say you're not making much difference. I am in my life. But it said here that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't know how many of you kept up with elections just this past Tuesday. I'm not just talking about local. I'm talking about statewide. And all of the firsts that are happening. First time in the state of Georgia that a transgender has been elected to office. You say, well, that's just the times. No, that's tolerance. the person that finished third in the mayor's race in Atlanta is a known lesbian. What I'm saying to you is this. There's a lot of cover-up going on today. It's not only in politics. It's not only in the entertainment world. It's happening in the churches. And this is what David is trying to do here. But then notice Psalm 32:1 said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And he's not talking about covered. He's talking about covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. He said there, the psalmist said, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. Now let's look here at David's life very quickly. Now I want to deal with the cover-up today, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the message for tonight. I'm not giving it to you. I'm just going to give you the title. Tonight, I preached this morning on cover-up. Tonight I want to preach on uncovered. Exposed. But David here, the king of Israel, David probably sat in a position mentally that David thought, nobody can touch me. Nobody can do anything to me. I am the king of Israel. But what got David to that position? What got David to the position or the place of sin and then the need of covering it up? The first thing we find here in chapter 11 is David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. How many times has your mom and dad told you, whether you're 80 years old or 8 years old, don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time? They will say, well, I didn't do anything, but you're in the wrong place. And so David's in the wrong place. Now, we're noticing here the devil's setup. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I said, you be careful. The devil already has a plan for your life tomorrow. He don't wait till in the morning when you get up to set that plan up. He's already got that plan set up. He's already got those temptations waiting out there. He's already got those pitfalls for you. He's already got those potholes for you to fall in. The devil already has that. And here in the life of David, David has been made king of Israel. God's given him great victories. Before David became king, you read about his life, how he went to war against all of the enemies of Israel. Now he's become king, and he has a responsibility as a king of Israel. And one of those responsibilities is that David was to lead his army into battle. So the Bible said that it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. David knew his responsibility. You and I know our responsibilities today. But the devil's already got his plan out there. And there's something you and I are supposed to do tomorrow. The devil's already got a counter plan for that to get us not to do it. I've been asking you to pray for a certain man that I've been witnessing to. He's 73 years old, never been saved. He has Parkinson's disease. Every time I go to see him, you can see it's worse than it was the time I saw him before. And I've been praying, Lord, let me share the gospel with that man. Well, I've got to the place now that he has agreed for me to come tomorrow and sit down with him and take the word of God and show him what I'm talking about. Now, I got a doctor's appointment in the morning, nothing serious. But what I've got to be careful is I've got to go out of town to that doctor's appointment. I don't let something interfere with my return in time because I said I will be here at 3 o'clock. I am praying, God, you must direct my path. You must watch over me. I don't want to fall into any pothole or any distraction that's going to keep me from being there when I promised that man I would be there. Now, the devil would like it. It'd be very easy. I mean, I like to eat just like you do and say, well, I'll just go get something to eat instead of coming back. David knew his responsibility. And it came that time, but what did David do? David fell into one of the potholes the devil had set up. So instead of leading his army to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him. Now the devil will tell you this. Get so-and-so to do that for you. They're better at it than you are. They're not if God told you to do it. And so David failed to accept his responsibility, and David stayed there in Jerusalem. He stayed there at the palace and did not go to war. Now the devil's plan is starting to roll. Remember, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. This would have never been written in the Word of God had David been obedient to God's leadership. A lot of your heartaches and my heartaches would never be true if you and I would be very careful and say, God, give me the strength to walk with you every day. You and I cannot afford to take a day off. The devil does not rest. We talk about God never resting, neither does the devil. And he's got enough little demons to keep all of us busy. Somebody said the devil couldn't have been at your house last week because he was at mine all day. All week, no, but his little demons were running around. And so the devil sets this up for David to stay instead of going to battle. And then the Bible said that David leading there and being there in the palace, notice what it said, and it came in an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Now you got to visualize this. Their houses were not built like ours. They did not have the pitch roof. Their houses were made with a flat roof. And so they were made also like patios. And so David, I'm sure many times in the evening tide, David would walk out onto that rooftop to oversee the city and just more or less have a time of relaxation. But the devil's plan's already in operation. Now, I'm going to say this, and I believe I'm right. David did not get up off the bed, go out on that rooftop expecting and looking to see a woman bathing. I don't believe it was a pre-planned thing in David's mind, but it wasn't the devil's. And so David walks out there, and the Bible said that from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Let me say to you men, you cannot sometimes help what you see, but you can help what you stare at. There's a difference. Let me say it again. You can be surprised by what you see, but you're not surprised at what you stare at. David walked out there on the roof. He saw Bathsheba, but instead of turning and going back into his room, David continued to look. David continued to lust, and lust leads to sin. And so that's why I say, you may not help what you see, but you can help what you stare at. And wives, I give you the opportunity just to pop them if they're staring. Just do it. Say, Boom, what you looking at? And they never are looking at anything. But you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in surprise and anticipation. And so David, there he sees this, and this is where David begins to fail. This is where the sin begins to become a reality. I said I don't believe he went out there looking, but once he saw, he continued to look. But instead of walking out off the roof back into his room, he failed to flee, and his failure to resist became temptation. And temptation became sin. As great a man as David was, and as great as he was used, David was still a man. And let me say to every one of us, male or female, we are no match for the devil. That's why the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Had David resisted this temptation, the devil would have moved on. But David didn't. He failed to flee, and his failure to resist temptation led to afterthought. And notice David's next step, how the sin becomes greater and greater. It said, now David saw it. Now, I do have a problem with this. The Bible said that David inquired who this woman was. David was king of Israel. I believe David knew who she was. But he inquired. You know what's going to get you in trouble? When that sin happens, it's there that you don't flee from it and you begin to think about it and talk about it and inquire about it. You know what's fixing to happen? It's going to hit you right between the eyes, and it's going to go from a thought to a reality, and there's going to be sin there. And so David, the Bible said, sent and inquired after the woman. David wanted to know who she was. And this is the answer he got. Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Right there is a shut door. Right there, God is saying, okay, I've shut the door. Here's your way of exit. But you know what David did? David knocked the door down and continued in that path because his lust had become sin in his mind. And when they told him that, then notice the next step. He sent for her. David knew where Uriah was. Uriah was where he was supposed to be. David was where he wasn't supposed to be. And so you know the story that he sent and brought her to his house, and they had relationship, and she conceived with a child. Now here's where the cover-up starts. There may be something going on in your life today that instead of just coming out and admitting it to God, you're trying to cover it up and make yourself feel better. Now the Bible said if we're willing to confess, he's faithful and just to forgive. But David didn't do it. When he got word, when the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child, David began his cover-up. David sends to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. See, I told you David knew where he was. David knew who he was. And he sent and said, send him to me. He didn't bring Uriah home to find out, even though he makes a statement here that when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. That's a false pretense. David wasn't worried about what was going on out there. David was worried about what was going on in his life. I have got to cover this up. I've got to fix this. I cannot allow this to get out. And that's what's happened in our world. Some of them 30, 40, 50 years past. Sure, God doesn't work on my timetable or your timetable. I think he should have exposed it the next day. But God said, okay, here's your opportunity. You take care of it. They kept covering it up. And now multiplied times years have come. Multiple years have passed. I mean 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And now they're stepping up and saying, I'm guilty. Why? Because their cover-up was exposed. It was torn away. David said, I'll fix this. I'm the king. I can take care of it. So David sends for Uriah to come home, for Joab to send him home. And when he gets there, David's got to have a false, or got to have a reason for bringing him. So in his false pretense, he says to Uriah there, he said that when Uriah was come, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. But then notice David's next step. David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed from the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat. See, David now is offering a banquet. He's really trying to make this thing look good. But Uriah was more of a man than David was. Uriah was closer to God than David was. Uriah was accepting his responsibility more than David was accepting his responsibility. And Uriah didn't go to his house. He slept out with the servants by the king's gate. David brings him in a second time after David hears that he didn't go home. And David asked him the question after they told him. Uriah said to David, after David said, why then didst thou not go down in thy house? Uriah answered unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. How shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Uriah said, David, my place is not here. My place is out there with the army. And you think I'm going to enjoy the benefits of life while they suffer, while they're out there putting their life on the line? Uriah said, it's not going to happen. So David brings him the second time, gets him drunk, and goes to send him home again. Now we've got a drunk man that's closer to God than David. Uriah still doesn't go. What am I saying here? God will change direction of your cover-up. Uriah was David's cover-up. Uriah was the one that was going to take the responsibility of this child, David thought. And God said, not this time. Not going to happen. And so then when David realizes Uriah's not going to fall or be his fall person, David takes a step further in his cover up. Now David's gone from the opportunity of turning and fleeing to being involved in sin, then trying to cover up his sin, and his first plan doesn't work. So now David's got a second plan. And every time you're covering that sin, the deeper and deeper you get with it, the worse and worse your cover-up becomes. Not only now is he trying to get Uriah to be the fall guy, David now has taken the step. He's in desperation. His heart now has become hard. And what does he do? He calls Uriah, gives him a letter, and says, take this to Joab. Uriah did not realize he was taking his own death warrant and putting it in the hands of Joab. David now no longer cares about anybody but David. That's where sin gets you. Sin is the real manipulator of this me, my time. I deserve this. I have a right to this. Nobody should deprive me of this. That's a result of sin. Now David's saying, you know what? Uriah is no longer important. Uriah is not going to fit into my plan. Uriah is not going to do what I tell him to do. So I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to cover this up good now. And David sent that death warrant there and told Joab, said, put Uriah to front and withdraw from him. How can somebody do that? Here's a man that is defending your nation. Here's a man that is showing you respect and showing his commanding officer respect. And now you're going to deliberately have him put to death. You say, how can people do what they're doing today? S-I-N. Sin. When sin begins to control you and you don't deal with it, it gets worse and worse and worse. The first sin may be what people would call a little small sin. But the next time that small sin is a little bit larger and a little bit larger and a little bit larger, and you get to the place, people get to the place, they say, I can do what I want to. Nobody will ever be able to touch me. And so David now says, I want you to withdraw from Joab. So Joab goes back, falls back into rank, takes up his place of responsibility. Joab said, I want you to go forward. Joab went forward. Or Uriah went forward. Joab withdrew from him, and they killed him. He died. See, listen to this next statement. Be careful what you do. Because the devil will have you believe it doesn't affect anybody but you. Now we've got four people affected in this sin. We've got David, we've got Bathsheba, we've got Uriah, really five. We've got Joab, and then we've got the child. Five people that this sin is fixing to touch their lives. Joab, following the commandment of the king, has Uriah murdered. David issued the death warrant. I said sin will harden your heart. David became a very hard man over this sin. Why do you say that? Because Joab said to, after Uriah had been killed, it said there that Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approacheth you so nigh unto the city? When did ye fight? And ye know not that they would shoot from the wall? See, normally they didn't go up next to the building, next to the city walls, because that gave the advantage to the enemy. They could shoot straight off the wall and kill you. There's a place in the Word of God, a man got close to the wall and a woman dropped the rock and killed him. Now, Joab was still thinking, just in case David questions what I did, I want you to tell David this. He said, when you get there, you say, if David said, why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. David, even though Joab might not have known about the sin, he said, I did what you told me to do. Uriah the Hittite's dead. For whatever reason you wanted him killed, he's been killed. This is why I say David's heart, sin had hardened it. Because David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. Just tell Joab, don't worry about it. It's okay. He said, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, encourage thou him. This is more or less what David said. Uriah wasn't important. You know what sin will do? And I said it earlier. Sin will make you become number one. And everybody else isn't important. It's all about me. And you become angry when anybody questions you. But David became hard-hearted when he said, let not this displease thee. Should David's heart not been broken over the fact that he had lost part of his army? David's heart wasn't broken because now he thought, completely covered his sin. Brother Robert, you and Brother Tommy come piano. Now I want you to notice two other people here in this context. David's heart is hardened. He wasn't moved by the fact that Uriah was dead. It didn't bother him. It's what sin does. Now, whether or not Bathsheba knew David's plan, I do not know. But notice the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba's response. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. David had no mourning. David was thinking, okay, after so many days of mourning, I'll bring her to the palace and everything will be okay. But David didn't realize or didn't think about this. Not only was Bathsheba mourning, but notice the next verse, and this is who you better be concerned about. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. Now notice this last statement. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David said, let not this thing displease thee. Don't worry about it. But David didn't think about God. And said, this thing that David did displeased the Lord. It always gets me, or I guess doesn't get me, but it makes me stop and think. If people were as interested in displeasing the Lord as they are the pastor, it'd be different. It amazes me when people say, oh, excuse my language, you're a preacher. What about God? Did you stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry what I said because you're God. It doesn't matter where I'm pleased or displeased with it. In the end, it's all going to depend on how pleased God is with your life. Let me give you a news alert. I will not be your judge. I will not pass judgment. You're looking at somebody who's got enough problems taking care of me. I don't really have the time and understand what I'm fixing to say to take care of everything you're doing. It must become a reality to us. Are we pleasing or displeasing God? What is our life saying about our relationship with Him? You can trick me. You can pull things over on me. But know this. You will not trick God, and you will not pull anything over on God. And then in the end, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, the one that's going to be judging you is Him. If you die in your sins without being saved and face Him at the great white throne judgment, it's going to be Him, not the preacher, that says, cast him into the lake of fire. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Let me bring that down to our language. Be sure. God will give you time to repent, but if you don't repent, God's going to expose it. That's what's happening today. God's exposing a lot of sin. And it's sad that I've seen it happen in churches, just like we're seeing it happen in the world. Wouldn't it be better to deal with it today than to have God deal with it tomorrow? Because a day's coming, God's going to pull that cover off, and He's going to uncover it and expose it. Because you'll find in the next chapter, as we look tonight, God, or Nathan said to David, you did it secretly. God's going to do it in the openness of Israel. You know, everybody knew about it. Uriah had been murdered, and the child was not his, it dies. Now's the time to take care of it. Now is the time to do it. Let us stand. You need to come. I ask you to come right now. Why not deal with it now before God deals with it? You're asking yourself the question, why do I not enjoy being in the house of God? Why do I not enjoy being around the people of God? Why do I not enjoy reading the Word of God? And this may be the answer. There's covered sin in your life. Doesn't matter how much you want to make it right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong.